Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, spending time with the journalist and extremely helpful journalist, Gary Rivlin. His new book is AI Valley, Microsoft, Google, and the trillion-dollar race to cash in on artificial intelligence, called AI. We need to meet the personalities who drive the development of what we now regard as magic. Mustafa Suleiman. Mustafa Suleiman is born overseas, and he is the child of Pakistani immigrants. His father, an engineer in Pakistan, is a taxi driver in London. You've spoken a great deal about AI with Mr. Suleiman. What's he like? What do we need to know about his personality?
Actually, Suleiman is Syrian. His father, in fact, did go to Pakistan. So Suleiman was fascinating. I joke he's the British version of the Silicon Valley archetype. He dropped out of Oxford, not Harvard or Stanford. Very curious mind. He was into politics. He worked for a little bit in negotiations with, you know, to help resolve conflict and all, but really wanted to make his impact. He was really inspired by Bill Gates, you know, raising all this money and then using that money to have an impact on the world. And, you know, by chance, he runs into a childhood friend, or the older brother of his best friend from childhood. They're actually playing poker at a casino in London. And, you know, the two of them, this is in 2010, the two of them start talking about the potential of artificial intelligence. It started with poker. Do you think we could create an AI that could be a master poker player? But, you know, it broadened from that. And, like, you know, they decided, like, well, it's too soon for robots, but machine learning, you know, had all this potential. The friend he was talking with was Demis Hassabis, who's one of the leading figures in AI. In fact, he won a Nobel Prize last year for his work in AI. And, you know, Hassabis, Suleiman, and a third man who also worked in machine learning created what to me is the first great AI start, the first great machine learning startup, DeepMind. This is in 2010 in London. And they really were at the cutting edge of trying to teach these models, you know, by letting it ingest data. And, you know, they started with games. You know, could we teach these models to these systems to learn to be masters of games? And they had a lot of success with that. But, you know, so in 2010, 2011, 2012, they were trying to sell the idea to a pretty skeptical group of investors. Peter Thiel was their first big investor. Elon Musk was another big investor early on. And so they were really showing progress. They're really impressing the wider world with, you know, the models they were building. But they realized, like, we're spending all of our time raising money rather than, you know, we as the founders working on the models themselves. So in 2014, they decided to sell to Google for $650 million. So, you know, the idea being that they could spend their brain time creating the products rather than trying to run a business and raise money.
Important to establish Suleiman's genius, which is management of this drive to succeed with AI. He has a very high demand level of people all around him. He is destined to succeed all the time. I missed the fact that he's a Syrian. His father went to Pakistan and met a British citizen, and that's why he wound up in London, because his mom and dad then would go home to London. So he has influence from a variety of cultures.
But grew up very poor. I mean, they lived in the British equivalent of public housing, you know, early in their life. They, you know, he worked not even as a British taxi driver, but, you know, more of a an illegal taxi driver, you know, kind of on the side, would kind of pick up people and not, you know, the traditional black cabs that we imagine. So, you know, they live very modestly. But the word visionary, I think, is overused. But to me, Suleiman is your classic visionary. He wasn't a technologist himself. Either is Reid Hoffman in that sense. They weren't like great computer programmers, but they really understood where this technology was going and what they needed to do to capitalize on it. What's interesting about Suleiman is, so in 2014, when Google bought the company, so he's now working for Google, and he thought, you know, all the potential here, right? Google was very early in machine learning and artificial intelligence. They were ahead of every other major company in jumping on machine learning, and he thought, wow, what a great opportunity. But it was a very frustrating experience for him. You know, the other side of the equation with Google is it's a big company that had, you know, tens of billions of dollars in revenue, and they worried about the chatbots they were creating, because it might threaten their search revenue, it might threaten their profit. So they, in 2020, essentially had ChatGPT. They had this product called Mina, but they were scared of it. You know, the PR consequences, if this chatbot says something, you know, untoward, something racist, something misogynist. And so he was just like banging on the table, let's get this out. There's going to be a race. Let's win this race. And he lost that battle. And so in 2022, at the start of 2022, he left Google to co-found a company.
What happens that DeepMind becomes Google? And there's a moment again, the music rises from the orchestra, and Elon Musk enters the stage. All right, as I understand it, Gary, and correct me if I've got the details wrong, Musk, Suleiman, and his co-founders showed Elon Musk once upon a time that their DeepMind could play a game, could learn a game and then become very good at it quickly over a period of hours. And on a flight somewhere with either Brin or Page, one of the...
Larry Page.
Musk wanted to show Page what he'd seen done by DeepMind, so he showed him the game. That's when Google decided, what is this? Had Google been working on AI until that moment?
Right. So I mean, again, give Google credit. So 2014 is when they bought DeepMind. But, you know, in the early 2010s, as way back as 2010, you know, they were starting to load up on AI talent. In the 2000s, they were actually using artificial intelligence to help decipher garbled Google searches, you know, misspellings and stuff. The AI would fix that. And so going back to the story you're telling about, you know, Musk showing Larry Page on a plane, DeepMind, like, it was incredible. They would, in the morning, the model would know nothing about some common video game. By noon, it was really good at it. By the end of the day, it could beat anybody at the game. And that really just showed the potential that, again, these neural networks, that they can, you know, learn through feedback. They could learn in the fashion of a human being. And it really kind of excited, animated, you know, the likes of Elon Musk and Larry Page. So, in fact, in 2014, Page went to London and they bought DeepMind. But what was interesting is, it frightened Elon Musk that AI was going to be in the hands of a few big companies. So Google buying DeepMind, like, and so Musk, Sam Altman, a few others came up with the idea for OpenAI, this idea that, and they started as a nonprofit, this idea that with something as powerful as artificial intelligence, it shouldn't be the profit motive that runs things. Safety was essential. Safety and trust are essential to AI. So OpenAI started as a nonprofit with the express idea of being a countervailing force to the likes of Google controlling artificial intelligence.
Now, there's an important detail here about AI. When you use AI, everybody rolls their eyes and go, I don't understand it. What I learned from you, Gary, I'm just checking, that AI, we have all around us. We just don't call it AI anymore after it's part of our world. Google Maps is AI. correcting the spelling of typing for a search is AI, correct?
Yeah, yes, and autocorrect. Google Translate's been around since around 2015. You know, more than a billion people around the world use it. Google Translate is AI. You go to Netflix and they recommend, you might like this show, this movie. You know, that's artificial intelligence. You know, to make one distinction here, you know, the chatbots that people use, these text-to-video programs that people use, that's generative AI. This idea that you could just give it a prompt, you know, write me a 3,000-word report, draw me a picture, make me a little video clip based on my instructions. That's generative AI, that it can generate something original. It's not just finding that thing. A favorite example of mine is right after OpenAI released ChatGPT, someone said, explain Karl Marx's economic theories as a Taylor Swift song. And it was brilliant. It was funny. And it wasn't like it went and found, oh, someone had already done this. It generated itself, generative AI.
We need to move to another approach to AI, and Gary's previewed it right here. It's the approach of OpenAI, which will become a major melodrama eventually. The book is AI Valley, Microsoft, Google, and the $1 trillion Race to Cash in on Artificial Intelligence.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.